Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Is it properly audible, or is it sort of heavy sound? It's okay? Can you hear okay at the back there? Yes? Right then. As I said, we'll read a few verses, we'll read actually several verses. Towards the end of the 11th chapter, after Arjuna has... Hare Krishna. At least we still have sound for the time being. After Arjuna has seen the universal form and become very astonished by it and amazed and even overwhelmed. Let's see if I can read in this light. So we'll begin with the 11th chapter, the universal form, and we'll begin with verse 46. Kalitinam gadinam chakrahastam Ichami tvam drashtam aham tatayva tenaiva rupena chatura bhujena sahasra baho bhava vishvamurte. O universal form, O thousand-armed Lord, I wish to see you in your four-armed form, with helmeted head, and with club, wheel, conch, and lotus flower in your hands. I long to see you in that form. So this is Arjuna, it's verse 46. Arjuna has seen the universal form, and it's been just most extremely striking and even devastating. And now, don't go too far away.
Yeah,
and now, having seen that and it having been a bit too much for him, even a lot too much for him, now he's requesting Krishna, withdraw that form, and in this verse at least he's saying, show me your four-handed form, which is much easier for me to relate to. And we just carry on, we're going to read a number of verses. This is 47. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Maya Prasanena Tavarjane Dham Rupam Param Darshitam Atma Yogat Te Jovayam Vishvam Anantam Adyam Yam Maitvanam Yena Nadrishta Purvam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, happily have I shown you, by my internal potency, this supreme universal form within the material world. No one before you has ever seen this primal form, unlimited and full of glaring effulgence. Just one interesting little point we could note, just very briefly. Krishna says, happily have I shown you. In other words, Krishna has been happy showing the universal form. If you're familiar with this chapter, you would know Arjuna was not happy. Krishna was happy seeing it. Arjuna was not. And another little point, it's actually very important and interesting point. that I've shown you the supreme universal form within the material world. I think we'll be okay there. Yeah. In other words, the universal form is a material type of form. It is not a spiritual, transcendental, eternal form, as Krishna's four-handed form, two-handed form for that matter. They're spiritual forms. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 9, who can tell me, enlighten us, help us, please? What is Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, verse 9? Any offers? I said, Krishna says in chapter 4, verse 9, Janma karana chave divya eva yogeti tattvataha tyaktva deha pranarajanma naiti mameti sorajana. Particularly the first couple of lines in this regard are important. Janma karana chave divya. Krishna is saying that my appearance, janma, birth or appearance, and karma, activities within this material world, is it janma karma cha, may divyam, they are divine. They are transcendental. They're not just part of this world. And therefore, tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti sarajana. Therefore, Krishna is saying in that verse, chapter 4, verse 9, anyone who understands this, that his appearance and activities are divine and beyond the nature of this world, well, what will the effect be? That they will not take birth again in this world, but will go to that eternal spiritual world. If understanding his appearance and activities produces that result, it would seem to indicate that his appearance, his activities, his form means particularly that two-armed form that he spoke Bhagavad Gita in, that is also beyond this world. If understanding it takes you beyond this world, it must be beyond this world. But now this universal form, very spectacular universal form, Krishna says in this verse, it's verse 47, this supreme universal form within the material world. And let us carry on, read some more verses. 48. Na vedi yagya jayanair nadanair na chakriya bir na tapo bir ugrai evam rupa shakya ahamri loke drashtum twadanyena kuru pravila. Oh, best of the Kuru warriors, no one before you has ever seen this universal form of mine. For neither by studying the Vedas, nor by performing sacrifices, nor by charity, nor by pious activities, nor by severe penances can I be seen in this form in the material world. And we're going to just carry on, so bear with us. 49, Mate Vyata Macha Vimudababo, Drishvarupam Golam Idrin Mamedam, Vyapeta Viprita Manapanas Twam, Tadeva Me Rupam Idam Prapashya. You have been perturbed and bewildered by seeing this horrible feature of mine. Now let it be finished. My devotee, be free again from all disturbances. With a peaceful mind, you can now see the form you desire. Sanjaya Uvacha, Ityarjunam Vasudevas Tatoktva, Sukham Rupam Darshayam Asa Bhuya, Ashvasayam Asa, Chabitame Nam Udvapanam Somya Vapur Mahatma. Sanjaya said to Dhritarashtra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, having spoken thus to Arjuna, displayed his real four-armed form and at last showed his two-armed form, thus encouraging the fearful Arjuna. Arjuna Rivacha, Drishveda Manusham Rupam, Tavasomyam Janardana, Idaryam Asmi Samvrita, Sacheta Prakritim Gata. When Arjuna thus saw Krishna in his original form, he said, O Janardana, seeing this human-like form, so very beautiful, I am now composed in mind, and I am restored to my original nature. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Sudur Darsham Idam Rupam Drishtavanasiyan Mama, Deva Apyasya Rupasya Nityam Darshana Kanchana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, this form of mine you are now seeing is very difficult to behold. Even the demigods are ever seeking the opportunity to see this form, which is so dear. Na ham vedaya na tapasa na dhanena na chechaya shakya eva vado drashtum drishtavam asimanyata. The form which you're seeing with your transcendental eyes cannot be understood simply by studying the Vedas, nor by undergoing serious penances, nor by charity, nor by worship. It is not by these means that one can see me as I am. And I think the last verse we'll read this evening, 54. Bhaktya tunanyaya shakya ahamevam vidurjuna gyatam drashtum chatatvena praveshtum cha parantapa. My dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, standing before you, and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mystery of my understanding. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Utale Mahi Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Koravani Pachane Nere Visheshu Shunyavati Vastrita Adhishtani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Jivas Adhikora Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bhajikam Jurubhyasthavi Vasindhu Vyamuja Bhajitanam Bhavane Yorishma Yuramona. So Hare Krishna devotees, how nice to be here with you all, nice devotees. We have just arrived from Mauritius, Ile de Maurice. And there, I was studying the Creole language a little, I could say a few sentences to you, but I will not. But it was nice in Mauritius. We had so many programs, it was non-stop. Just non-stop. Anyway, it was just non-stop. But it's nice to be back home. Hare Krishna. Thank you. As we say in Mauritian and Creole, merci beaucoup. It's French also. Well, now we've read several verses here, 7 or 8 perhaps, something like that, towards the end of the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And it's all very significant and very wonderful. If you're a bit familiar with Bhagavad Gita, you would know that in the 10th chapter, the 10th chapter, previous chapter, Lord Krishna listed out verbally different special manifestations of himself within this world. Yes. And also in the 7th chapter, you know, things like Rasoham Apsukanteya, I'm the taste of water, I'm the light of the sun and the moon, and so many things, which generally, particularly, are features of the material world. The taste of water, light of the sun and moon, of course. So he listed them out, and he said, I am these things, which really means, you know, of course, Krishna is Krishna, and the light of the sun and the moon is the light of the sun and the moon, and the taste of water is the taste of water. So when Krishna says, I am these things, when generally speaking we know that Krishna is Krishna, it's a somewhat abstract type of idea. I am the taste of water. Valpray? Well, you don't know. Valpray. It has its taste. You acquire the taste if you drink enough. So yeah, slightly abstract. How can Krishna be Krishna? A person. He's moving around, he's walking and talking, and he has relationships. But how can he also be the taste of water, the light of the sun and moon, and so many other things, the strength of the strong amongst animals? I am the lion. Amongst fishes, I am the shark. Among, what is it, immovable things, I am the Himalayas. It's somewhat abstract. And what Krishna's, the real implication, the real idea is that all these things are very special. When you compare, I don't know if you've been into the Himalayas, but it's quite an unforgettable experience. You may have been into the Drakensberg, you know, whatever they call the place, what is it? Champagne Castle, is it? Champagne something. And you know champagne's not good for you. And the other places, you know, they have different places up there. The what do they call it? The amphitheater, Golden Gate. And they're nice. I've been to all those places. It's nice. But when you've been in the Himalayas, I mean right into the Himalayas, like up to Badrinath, then I tell you what, the dragon's purr, it seems like some little hills, hillocks or something. It's just another dimension altogether. So amongst mountains, well, the Himalayas are there, and they're so outstanding. The idea in that description is that how can these things be so outstanding when we compare them, like you compare a shark to a goldfish or a koi or something like that? You know, goldfish, koi, tadpoles, they're all kind of, well, they're living entities, they're interesting. But when you compare them to particularly a big shark, like the great whites, these man-eaters, your goldfish in your little bowl at home doesn't look very impressive at all. So how is the shark just so outstanding, amazing? It's because it's empowered by Krishna. And Krishna's power is an integral part of him. So when his power is invested in something, he is invested. It's a little abstract, but I think you'd get the idea. So then, after that, at the beginning of this chapter now, the 11th chapter, Arjuna, the hero, he says that, well, basically he says to the effect that was all very interesting, thank you for explaining that. But I would like to see it. I want to see how all these different outstanding features of this world, how they are manifestations of you, or manifestations of your power. And your power is an integral part of you. You cannot separate any person's power from them. So Arjuna says, please show me. And then Lord Krishna shows him the universal form. Interesting point. First of all, he says, before he shows it, he says that I'm going to have to give you special eyes, because with your current, just like regular human eyes, you are not going to be able to see this. Just like now, I've not tried it, I heard a little bit about it. You get these virtual reality goggle things, right? You see sometimes people's pictures of people. So I don't even know what they see, but they see something extraordinary in there. But without those eyes, so to speak, then you just see things as normal. You need the special eyes, and then, oh, you see this, apparently it's a special thing, or in some movie theaters, some movies are 3D, isn't it? But you have to wear certain glasses, something like that. Or just for that matter, look at this. I take my glasses off, then I wouldn't even know where I am. But I put on my glasses and, oh, I'm in center. So some special type of vision Krishna gave Arjuna. yeah, special type of vision. And then Krishna saw how Krishna is behind everything and how everything in this world is working by the working of Krishna. Yeah, and it was, well, first of all, he saw some very beautiful things. And then, because that universal form is multifaceted, it's highly variegated. And after first seeing some attractive and beautiful things, he then saw another part of it. That part was called the Kala Rupa in Sanskrit. Kala means time, the form of time. Arjuna saw that. And when he saw that, it was very shocking, because that form of time was destroying everything. That is the business of time, actually. You know, when we're young, yes, like Vaishnavi, Shitala, when we're young, I remember being young and thinking, oh, when am I going to be 12 years old? I want to be 12, because I forget why, but there's some special facility or some special something when you're 12. You could become a prefect at school. Wow. Head prefect. We had, you know, schoolboy humor. Head prefect. The nickname was Head Defect. Head Defect. So when you're young, sometimes at least, you think you want to be older because it'll be better. And yeah, you'll enjoy life more. But when you get old, as you get older, and when you actually get old, then you see, I mean, you actually experience directly yourself, that the business of time is actually to destroy. And even our small devotees, physically small, they're growing, they're becoming bigger, and their minds are developing and so on. But it's all just part. These are just parts of the process of destruction. Yeah. That before something can be destroyed, it has to grow into something. Then it can be destroyed. If it's just like nothing, then what does destroying it mean? So Arjuna saw that Kala Rupa, and in it he saw, for example, there were many mouths with big teeth, and he saw the warriors from the battlefield running into the mouths and literally being eaten by the universal form of the Lord. Ghastly sight. Yes, it appears that universal form is non-veg. Non-veg. You know, some of you may have heard me mention this before. I really knew that India was going downhill in a big way when I was, a few years ago, on a Kingfisher airline flight within India somewhere, and the little stewardess who, you know, she's like a very mod girl with a red mini skirt. And she's going up down the aisle distributing meals. And she looked at me, and I was dressed just like this. And she said, "Veg or non-veg?" Then, you know, India's going, gone and going further downhill. So, yeah. So Arjuna saw all this, and he was shocked to the point of becoming just incapacitated. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur said that for Arjuna, it was an experience like when a person has a heart attack. I don't know if any of you have. You know, Hare Krishna, fortunately I haven't so far. But we hear that it's extreme. Of course, so many people don't recover. They just die. But those who survive, we hear it's quite an experience. So it was for Arjuna. Even though he's a very powerful warrior, and a warrior meaning in hand-to-hand combat, not shooting someone with a rifle from 100 meters away, you know, just right face to face on top of each other, hacking each other to pieces, that sort of warrior. So he was used to horror and shocking, ghastly sights. He was used to it. But this was too much. And therefore, after a while, just shortly before where we started reading from, Arjuna asked Krishna, "Please withdraw this form." Well, actually, I think it was one of the verses we read. But before that, another interesting little point. Arjuna asks Krishna, "Who are you? I thought I knew you. You're my cousin. We've known each other for like, they were by our standards elderly. They're like 90 years old. People's bodies did not deteriorate as rapidly as our bodies do at that time. But still, you know, 90 years, they had known each other. They had known each other all that time. They were cousins, and they were very close cousins, cousin brothers. And they would play together and sit together and eat together and joke together and all these things. Very close for years." And now Arjuna says to Krishna, "You know, I thought I knew you. But now it appears that I've not known you, I didn't know you. So can you please tell me, who are you? Who are you actually?" In fact, he's referring to the universal form, because Krishna's two-armed or even four-armed form, those forms are not manifest now. Rather, the universal form is there, and that's what Arjuna is seeing, and that is who or what he's addressing. But Krishna, or the universal form, replies, very famous verse, Kalosmi Lokakshaya Krit Pravritta. Kala Asmi. Kala means time, Asmi means I am. I am time. Arjuna asked, "Who are you and what is your mission? What is your business? What are you doing?" So Krishna says, I am time, and I have come to destroy everyone and everything. So there you go. And in the material world, for people who are in the material world and who are on the material level, that's what the Lord is doing. That's what time is doing. Time is destroying. Whatever you're doing, whatever you are doing today, whatever you're going to do tomorrow, essentially, in one sense at least, you're just filling in time until you die. That's all. Because when you do die, you're not going to take whatever you did today. You made some money, you did something, maybe you wrote something, or painted something, or arranged something. But when you die, it's all going to be left behind completely, totally. So you're just filling in time. That's all you're doing until death comes. So, yes. So a very important point is to understand that that universal form, it is material. It is just different features, or even just the whole material world with its different features, which is empowered by the Lord, and therefore is special. That's what the universal form is. So in other words, the universal form is not exactly a form of Krishna. It's a manifestation of Krishna's potencies. But at Krishna as a person is something different. So, and another interesting point, when Arjuna sees the universal form, because he's been given these special eyes, special 3D glasses, VR, that's it, right? Virtual reality, VR glasses, and he's seeing all of this, then he sees that a number of other people are also seeing it, and including some demigods. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are seeing it, and some of the celestial demons are also seeing it. This is described in the earlier verses in this chapter. So in other words, from that we should gather, I mean, some of these things may be a bit subtle, but we should gather that when Krishna gave Arjuna those, in fact, he calls it Divya Chakshus, divine eyes, when he gives him those eyes, they are celestial material eyes. And people who are celestial material people and who have those eyes anyway, that's their normal eyes, because they're demigods or the higher demons. They were able to see it anyway. They didn't need a change of eyes or vision. So, yeah. So here then we read that Arjuna's appealing, please withdraw that form. Let me see your forearm form. Krishna withdrew that. Withdrew the universal form. Then he withdrew the forearmed form. And finally he showed Krishna, showed Arjuna his two-armed form. And when Krishna did that, then Krishna said that the form you're seeing with your transcendental eyes cannot be understood simply by studying the Vedas, nor by undergoing serious penances, nor by charity, nor by worship. It is not by these means that one can see me as I am. him. Mam yata, as I am. So how then? What is the means to see Krishna as he is? Bhaktya tvananyaya shakya. Aham evam vidarjana. Gyatum drashtum cha tatvena. Praveshtum cha parantapa. Only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, standing before you. That's the 204. And can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. He says, gyatum. Gyatum means to know. Drashtum means to see. Tatvena. Tatva means truth. To know me, understand me, and to see me in truth. Bhaktya, bhaktya tu ananyaya shakya. Ananya, ananya means no other. Anya means other. Ananya means no other. Yeah. Pure devotional service is sometimes in Sanskrit referred to as ananya bhakti, that it's only bhakti. There's nothing else mixed in with it. No mental speculation, certainly no material attachment, no material conceptions, no material considerations like in Christianity, give us this day our daily bread. This is very popular prayer, extremely popular prayer. Extremely popular prayer in Christianity. But you can see it's mixed. It's mixed with material consideration. Prabhupada was giving a lecture in America when he had, shortly after he had arrived, not long after, at a university. And Prabhupada was talking about what is religion. And he quoted that verse, or little, you know, line from it, a line from what they call the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And Srila Prabhupada said, What is this prayer? What is it? Prabhupada said, religion means to love God. But what is this prayer? Srila Prabhupada said, this prayer is not really about love of God. This prayer is about love of bread. That's what, it's quite obvious. So, it's mixed. So ananya, pure bhakti, pure devotion, pure devotional service, means no mixtures of other ideas. Give me something material, I want it. Or speculative ideas, like speculative philosophical ideas, which are not substantiated in scripture, just your mind going off on some sort of mental exercise. So ananya bhakti bhaktya tu ananya yasakya aham evam vidarjana. So Krishna is saying that you can see, you can understand me as I am only by devotional service, and thus you can see me directly. You can see God. You can see God even within this world, this material world. God is spiritual. Our condition, our eyes, what are our eyes? They're flesh and blood of some sort. So our eyes are material, our sense of sight is material. He is spiritual. But if we engage in the process of devotional service, then he gives his mercy. And then by his mercy, we'll be able to see him as he is. There's a famous verse, actually, that the, what's that verse? That the name and form of Krishna are all transcendental and cannot be perceived by material senses. But if we engage our senses in the service of Krishna, then by his mercy, we can perceive him directly. What's that verse? Nam, nam, what's that? Yeah. No, it's Jiva. Anyway, that's the translation. Seven Mukhaya Jiva. How does it begin? We have a scriptural authority here. What is it? Atak Shri Krishna Namadi. Nabhaved Grahyam Indriyai Sevan Mukhehi Jivado Swayam Eva Spirachida Attack Sri Krishna Nama Adi. That Krishna and his different manifestations, Nama Adi. Adi means beginning with his name, beginning with his name, names, etc. Nabhaved Grahyam Indriyai cannot be perceived. Nabhaved cannot be perceived by Grahyam Indriyai, by material senses. But Sevan Mukhehi Jivadu, by service, by service to the Lord, beginning with the tongue, Jiva. Ado, Adi, again it's Adi, beginning with Jiva, the tongue. Then Swayam Eva Spurachida. Swayam means directly, the very actual one. Then you can see Krishna directly by his mercy. So this is very important here, that Arjuna got to see the universal form by getting these special eyes. Which demigods happen to have, and even celestial demons, who are not even devotees, they're actually demons, they also had that special vision. So that's not so special, that's not so really wonderful. It's just a means for seeing special, extraordinary material manifestations. But to see Krishna as he is, not just manifest, or his potencies manifest in this temporary material world. Because you know, when the material world is destroyed, the universal form is destroyed. Because that's what the universal form is, it's the universe. So the universal form is temporary. But to see the eternal, transcendental form of the Lord and develop an eternal, personal, transcendental relationship with the Lord, in which you can see him directly and speak to him, and he will speak to you and you will hear him. A relationship. This is what Krishna is saying here. Bhaktiya tu ananyaya sakya. It's only possible by not just devotional service, but unalloyed, pure devotional service. Therefore, we devotees, we all, you all, we all, We should really try and cultivate pure devotional service. This Srila Prabhupada, well, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, they've given us the process, and Srila Prabhupada has sort of ordered it, organized it, put it into, like, you know, really solid shape, systematized it, so that it's accessible, accessible even within this material world, and even at this time in the material world, because this is Kali Yuga, you know, unless you haven't noticed. You know, I tell you what, when I was young, there was the Vietnam War. And we all thought, all the young people thought, just see, these people are crazy. This world is too much. But, you know, at that time, Mr. Trump had not manifested yet. And not just Mr. Trump, but Mrs. Trump too. But, and not just the two of them, but just look around. Just look around. Compared to when I was a teenager, oh, it's just a shocking state of affairs. There was a fellow when I was young, whose name I can't even remember, but he made a song. It was called The Eve of Distraction. You can Google it. It was banned because he was saying, you know, look at all the hate in Red China, then take a look around at Selma, Alabama, pointing out that how things were in bad shape, and then saying, we're on the eve of distraction. But, you know, that was, I guess, the mid-60s, was the hippie days. And compared to now, the hippie days were practically the heavenly planets. It was just, life was good. People were nice. Governments actually told the truth and tried to help the people, believe it or not, and not just themselves. Yeah. So it's Kali Yuga. It's Kali Yuga. It's really a horrible situation. But even in this Kali Yuga, if we apply ourselves to the process as given by Srila Prabhupada, because he's so expertly organized it, that the process can be applied absolutely, even under the current circumstances. And, you know, of course the bad news is that it's going to get worse. Yeah. And the even badder news is that then it's going to really, really get a lot worse. Oh, yeah. You know, we've seen nothing. But if we cultivate unalloyed devotional service by applying the process as given by Srila Prabhupada, beginning with the tongue, chanting the holy names, and taking prasadam, but just beginning with those things, and then there are also other things, then we can come to see Krishna, come to develop our relationship with Krishna, and be delivered from this really amazingly bad material world, either by going back to Godhead, just relocating out of here, or by becoming transcendental in this lifetime, so that even though we're in the middle of it all, but we're not affected, and our consciousness, actually we're with Krishna, in the company of Krishna. So let us do that. Is that okay? Any objections? Anyone strongly opposed? So let's chant. Let's chant and really try and apply ourselves to the process of devotional service as given by Srila Prabhupada. And then we'll see the transformation that occurs within us. Just in objective terms, visible, clear terms, the transformation, the change, the changes which will take place within us, and how we'll become free from the nonsense of this world, and we'll be able to clearly see how there's so much nonsense, and that's such a stimulus to not get caught up in the nonsense. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Just one thing. Yes. Anyone have a comment or a question? Or a disagreement? Or an agreement? Vaishnavi? No? Shitala? Okay. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavad Gita ke Iskon Santam Yatra ke Go Premanandi.